Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And thank you that even when we can't see you, you're working. And as we'll learn today, quite often, what's true in our mind doesn't match up with what our heart feels. And so, God, today, would you pour out, God, your blessing and wisdom and mercy and show us how powerful and merciful and wise that you are and that we can trust you even when we don't see you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said? So let me begin. I'm going to ask you a question, yes or no. This is group participation. Does it matter what you believe? Okay, let me ask you again. Does it matter what you believe? Yeah, so some of you know my wife. I've been married, as I told you last week, 23 years. And so if I were to begin describing to you my wife, and I said, she's incredible. She's amazing. I can't wait to see how hot she is at 80. She's just amazing. And not only is she beautiful on the inside, but she's incredible on the outside. And she has just the most pale skin that is like the purest of all ivory. And her golden hair is like the richest of all gold, and her blue eyes are like staring into the Mediterranean Sea. Some of you may be like, oh, look at how he talks about his wife. Well, if my wife heard that, she'd slap me, because she has very olive skin, and she has very brown eyes and very dark hair. So I would be describing someone that's not at all like my wife, and I don't ever want to do that. I love my wife, and I need to talk about her properly. And one of the things that happens in the road of life is that either we, A, don't fully understand who God is, or when life gets difficult, we don't talk about him properly. And so what we're going to see in our series called Lessons on the Road is we're going to meet Jesus walking down the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. And for a portion of the time, his disciples were walking with them, but they didn't even know Jesus was there. And how often in your life and mine are we walking through life and we just don't know where God is in the moment? And our mind tells us this is true, but our heart can't believe it. The pain of the moment, the frustration of the moment, the letdown of the moment, the insecurity of the moment tells me that I don't know if what I believe to be true is true. And so Jesus is right there, but we miss it. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at this Emmaus Road journey. This week, we're going to look at the reality that even when we don't see it, he's there. So I'm going to be in Luke 24. I'm going to pick up in verse 13, and we're going to read today all the way to verse 27. We're only going to talk about a portion of it this week, but I'm going to be read all of the verses. And so what I want you to do every week is bring a copy of the scriptures, either in print or digitally. When you're watching online in your living room with a cup of coffee, have God's word out. I want you to know, man, wait, it's not making this stuff up. God said this. I'm just telling you what God has already said. And so I'm going to begin reading in Luke 13, and we'll read all the way to 27. Now, it says that the same day, what same day? Well, this is the resurrection. I mean, last week was Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection, but yes or no, is Jesus still alive? Yeah, thank you. The people in the front row know the answer. You in the back, come on, step up. Jesus is still alive. He is still alive. Now, two of them were on their way to the village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And together, they were discussing everything that had taken place. That was the death, the burial, the resurrection, the emotional women coming in going, we can't find him. Peter running to the tomb going, he's not here. They're trying to figure it out. Now they're headed to Emmaus. And while they were discussing, and what? Yeah, Christians argue sometimes. People fight. My wife and I call it heated fellowship when we argue. People argue at times. How many of you have ever argued with a brother or sister in Christ? Show of hands. Yeah, you all have. A bunch of liars. We all argue at times. So they're arguing. Should we believe this? And Jesus himself came near, and he began to walk with them, but they were prevented from recognizing him. And then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? Do you think Jesus knows what's going on? But he still's asking, what are y'all arguing about? And they stopped walking and they looked discouraged. And the one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that's happened in these days? Like, are you the only one that doesn't know that Jesus was crucified, buried, and everybody's trying to figure out if he's alive? And then look at Jesus's answer. Jesus has a sense of humor, whether you know it or not, because he knows what they're talking about, but he answers them, what things? What things? What y'all talking about? What things? He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. Verse 25, and he, that's Jesus, said, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted for them all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. And so these guys are headed to Emmaus. And Jesus is walking with them. And for a period of the time, they don't even know he's there. And then when they begin to interact with him, they don't even know they're talking with God in the flesh. And so Jesus is right there in the middle of it, and they don't see it. And I've been walking with Jesus now for about 25 years. And there have been plenty of opportunities where what I knew to be true in my mind, I couldn't square with what I felt in my heart. And there have been so many times with what I knew, what was true, didn't line up with what my eyes were seeing in the moment. And one of the lessons that we're gonna learn on the road is that there are things that are true about God, whether we feel it in the moment or not. There are realities, there are weighty things about Jesus, core truths that we need to hold on to, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what the situation tells us, there are things that are true about God that we just need to hold on to. And there are three truths that I'm gonna share with you today, big ideas about God that I want you to write down, that I want you to anchor, that I want to carry, that you carry with you on the road of life so that you can be reminded, even when you don't see it, he is these things. And so three things I'm gonna share with you today. That's the outline, and that's what we're gonna talk about. Number one, the thing that I want you to write down, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. If you don't take notes, those of you who have been around for a while, what do? Write this down. So no matter what, write this down. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus is powerful. Look at the person next to you, say, Jesus is powerful. He's powerful. And not only is he powerful, he's all powerful. There's a big theological word called omnipotent, which means that Jesus has all power. He is all powerful. And you can look into the Gospels and you can see where Jesus calms a storm, or he feeds the 5,000, or he turns water into wine. What you're doing is you're seeing Jesus's power over all of creation, whether he healed the lepers or he allowed people to receive sight or the lame could walk or he even rose the dead. What you're seeing is how powerful Jesus really is. And one of the stories that I feel like really highlights this is in Mark chapter 5, and it's the story of Jairus's daughter. Now, Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. Translation, he was not a friend of Jesus. He and his boys were adamant opponents of Jesus. However, his daughter became sick. And it's so funny that even though at times we don't want the things of God, an issue in our life can cause us to say, hey, I may need God in this moment. Well, he realizes that no one could help his daughter but Jesus. And he runs to Jesus, sees Jesus, falls at his feet and says, would you please come help my daughter? She's dying. Well, Jesus knows who this man is and what he really believes in his heart. So Jesus responded, good luck. Too bad I'm not God. I can't help you, and walks away. Some of you are like, I can't believe Jesus said that. You're right. He didn't say that. I'm just kidding. That's not what Jesus said. He said, okay, well, let's go to your house. And as he was headed to his house, another woman who was sick touched Jesus's garment, hoping to be healed. And she was. And Jesus turns around to interact with her. And while he's interacting with this woman, a runner from Jairus's house shows up and says, hey, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Like, imagine the heartache that a dad must have felt in that moment. Not only realizing that your daughter is dead, but in that moment, don't you imagine you might be thinking, hey, I got here first. And if you wouldn't have stopped to help this woman, we might have made it to my house and my daughter would be fine. This isn't right. Jesus, I thought you were all powerful. What's going on? And Jesus tells the man, hey, if you believe, anything's possible. And the man says what many of us feel quite often. Hey, I believe. Just help my unbelief. Because my heart doesn't feel what my mind's trying to tell me right now. And Jesus says, hey, well, let's go to your house. And so they go to Jairus' house. And when he shows up, everybody's weeping and mourning and crying. And Jesus walks in and he tells the room, hey, just relax. She's not dead. She's just asleep. And they laugh at him. They mock him. They're like, Jesus, you're crazy, man. Well, he clears the room and he walks over to the little girl's body and he bends down and he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And you know what she did? She got up. Because Jesus holds all the power of the universe in his hands. He controls life and death. And not only does he control everything here on this earth, his power extends to all of his creation. And so all of the stars he set into place, he creates them, he sustains them. He told the sun, you will burn at this temperature. His power extends over all of the created universe. And so you're here and I'm here and the lights are on and my microphone works and I have the air to breathe and a voice that works because Jesus allows it. Colossians says that he controls the universe by the words of his mouth. That's just who he is. So the stars stay in orbit. The sun comes up and the sun sets because Jesus says so. And so if you think about his power and you just hop the rails for just a minute, on the road of life, one of the lessons that we need to learn is even when we don't see him, he sees us. And no matter what's going on in our life, it hasn't surprised Creator God. God is not in a panic about you. God is not pacing back and forth in heaven going, what do I do and how do I respond? And I don't know what to do with this. So whether you're sick or healthy, whether we have an abundance or we don't, whether our relationships are strong or weak, it hasn't surprised God. He is not an ambulance driver who shows up on the scene and has to triage the situation. Oh, I don't know what's happening here. Let's look in, huddle up the angels, and let's decide what the next course of action is. God doesn't have to respond in the moment because he's powerful and he sees it all and he controls it all. And I don't know if you've ever been around people who are incredibly powerful or strong. I've been able to meet some very powerful men. And I used to work out with these guys who could like bench press a Buick. You ever been around just some strong people? You know what I'm talking about? Like, ladies, this is a good moment to like grab your husband's arms. Like, yeah, somebody like you, you know, somebody like that. Like, I've been around some people who are really, really tough, but they're also really, really rough around the edges. And you meet these really strong and powerful people, and you go, man, I don't really want to make them mad, or I don't know how they're going to respond because they got a lot of strength, but they don't have a lot of grace. You know what I'm talking about? Like, really, really tough, but not very nice. And not only is Jesus all powerful, but one of the things you also learn about our God is that Jesus, listen, he's merciful. Not only does he yield all the power in the universe, but he doesn't yield that power to crush us. He yields it to draw us closer to him. So the second thing you need to write down is that Jesus is merciful. And one of the stories that I love that illustrates this so well is in John. If you remember the story in the Bible of the woman caught in adultery, and men caught this woman in adultery, and they brought her into the presence of Jesus, and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus, and they said, Jesus, the law of Moses said that we should stone her. What do you say? Well, the Bible says that Jesus didn't immediately respond to them. He just kind of knelt down and began drawing in the dirt. Nobody really knows. The Bible doesn't say what he wrote in the dirt. Some say that he started writing out their own sins. Ha ha! You want to talk about her sin? Let's talk about this right here. Wrote it down. We don't know. Some say he began to just unpack the scriptures. We don't know what he could have drawn a pony for all we know in the dirt. We don't know what happened. But what happens is all of a sudden, He says to the group, hey, whoever's here that doesn't have any sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. You go ahead, lead out. And the Bible says that one by one, all these smug religious people like dropped their rocks and just walked away. And then the Bible says he picked this woman up, grabbed her face and said, hey, where's your accusers? This woman caught red-handed, guilty. And the law says she should be killed, grabs her face and says, where's your accusers? And she says, I don't see them. And he says, well, then listen, I don't accuse you anymore. Go and sin no more. And what's crazy is that day should have ended in her death. But instead, it ended with her meeting mercy. And these stories become so powerful when you put yourself there in the moment. These are historical realities. I mean, think about what's going through that woman's mind when she's drugged to Jesus. If she has kids, she's already beginning to think they're orphaned because she thinks that day ends with her being pelted by rocks until she takes her last breath because that's what the law required. But she meets the most powerful being in the universe. And what she gets in her sin is not a rock, it's mercy. Mercy. And not only her story, but I love the story of Zacchaeus. Show of hands, how many of y'all know the story of Zacchaeus? Well, I've been asked by Justin, our worship pastor, not to sing, which honestly hurts a little bit. But there's a song about Zacchaeus, perhaps you've heard it, and we're gonna sing it a little bit together. So I'll start it, you finish it. It says, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was. He climbed up in a, for the Lord he wanted to. That's not bad. So technically I didn't sing, you sang with me, so we're more of a choir. Take that, Justin. But what we don't realize is that Zacchaeus was really a lowlife. He was a lowlife because he was raising money for Rome. And Rome was occupying Israel. And they were occupying Israel, and they were ruthless, and they killed thousands of people. So if you're a first century Jew, and one of your buddies is raising money for your captors, do you like him, yes or no? No, you're not gonna like the guy that's funding your oppressor. They don't like him. Well, one day Jesus is coming to his town and Zacchaeus wants to see him. You know the story, climbs up in a tree to see him. And Jesus is like, hey, Zacchaeus, come down here and we're going to your house. But Jesus doesn't go to his house to rough him up. Can't believe you're raising money for these guys and they're gonna crucify me. And who are you? No, he goes to his house to extend grace, to give mercy, to have a gospel conversation. And Zacchaeus, this guy who funds oppressors, this low-life guy meets Jesus. And in response to Jesus's grace, says, you know what, I'm gonna give back half of everything that I've ever taken. And if I've wronged anybody, I'm gonna pay him back double. Time and time again, what you see is that when people lock eyes with Jesus, and they find grace, and they find mercy, and some of you right now are on a road right now that has taken you in a direction you actually didn't think was possible. Because sin always takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you way longer than you want to stay. And you end up in this place and you go, man, if I want to weave back to God, if I want to look back to my creator, if I want to respond back to God, what I'm going to get is I'm going to probably get a blow. What you're going to get is the same thing that the others in the scriptures get. It's mercy. Don't wait. Don't delay. Jesus not only has all the power in the world to break any addiction that you're struggling with, remove any shame, but he also has an abundance of grace and mercy waiting on you. And one of the lessons on the road of life that we need to remember is, man, our God is powerful, but our God is merciful. Amen? But not only that, last thing that I want you to see is that, man, God is wise. And I don't know if you have ever had someone in your life, maybe you know somebody, and they're incredibly, book smart, right? But they can't function in life. Y'all ever met somebody like that? where, man, they can rattle off any fact in the world that you would want to know, but they can barely tie their shoes and get to the store. You know what I'm talking about? They are Rain Man when it comes to facts, but they just cannot function in life. And it's just interesting, but I want you to hear what Paul says about God, which is also true about Jesus, because he indeed was God. He says this in Romans 11:33, and this is powerful. It may not seem like it at first, but this is a big deal. Paul, when he's talking about God, says this, Romans 11:33, oh, listen, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. And this is why this is so important, because Paul points out two things about God that we need to know on the road. He points out both his knowledge and his wisdom. Wade, why is that important? Why are you making a big deal out of God's knowledge and wisdom? Because knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Knowledge talks about just an awareness of facts, but wisdom talks about what to do with those facts to produce healthy end. So knowledge is just knowing a bunch of stuff, and wisdom is knowing what to do with all of that knowledge to actually produce a good end. And sometimes the Bible uses these interchangeably, but Paul uses both on purpose. And he says, our God both is rich in knowledge and in wisdom. And so here's something that I want you to think about. I want you to make God knows every word and every language and every sentence and every paragraph and every chapter of every book that's ever been written. He knows every fact, every bit of truth, every ounce of science, math, literature, astronomy. He just knows it. He knows what temperature the stars burn at, the height of every mountain, the depth of every ocean. He just knows every thought, every action of every creature, past, present, and future. He knows everything that has ever happened or will happen. And without, in this moment, the slightest bead of sweat on his brow is holding the universe together. He makes it rain and keeps it from raining. He allows the wind to blow, but also causes it to stop. Cures cancer, gives wisdom, listens to the prayers of about 2 billion people, and then comforts another 500,000 who are mourning. He's opening the hearts of hundreds of thousands of people, and then there's all this other stuff that I just have no idea that he's doing. One of my favorite theologians said this this way. He says, God can rule the universe with his feet up. Not only does he know all things, but he knows what to do with those facts to produce good ends. I still don't know what I'm having for lunch. But God is rich in both wisdom and knowledge. So not only does he know every detail of your life, what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, he knows what to do with it in order to produce the best end. And that's specifically you being a worshiper of Almighty God. And so often, like, we think we're smart. And I mean, we are, man. We're a lot of us Wilco people, Middle Tennessee people, man. We're sharp, man. We're leaders in business and success. And we are. We're smart people. We're smart people. And I don't think anybody in the room would just jump up and be like, you know what? I'm smarter than God. Let's have a little Scrabble match today. Let's go. Me and him, mano a mano, I could win. No, we don't say that we're smarter than God, but quite often we live like we are. Because even though we know that God's ways are best, we still lean on our own understanding. I'll give you an example. I mean, if you don't know my story, I think I've told this before, but my wife and I moved here from Houston. I spent the first 40 years of my life in Houston, and Houston is a massive city. It's the third largest city in America, 140 nations represented, and you don't measure distance in Houston by miles, you measure distance by hours. And rush hour traffic in Houston is so bad. I'm telling you, I think at 5 o'clock on Friday, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm out. I'm headed somewhere else. This place is crazy. And it's so long to get anywhere. And we were driving across town one day, and it just took forever to get there. And my youngest daughter was like 3 at the time. She's 10 now. She's like, Dad, it's like, what, baby? She's like, do you know where you're going? I was like, yeah, baby, I know where you're going. She's like, I think you're lost. I was like, I think you're going to get a spanking. How about that? Because I know where I'm going. You're 3. You can't even see over the back seat. What do you mean I'm lost? Play on your iPad, you know? Matter of fact, give me the iPad. You're grounded. And it's so foolish for my young daughter to be like, Dad, you don't have a clue how to get across Houston in rush hour traffic. You don't know what you're doing on this road. But how many times have we sat in the back seat like a little three-year-old to God? Like, you don't know what you're doing. I really feel like you're lost. And one of the lessons on the road we need to learn is like, even when we can't see God, he's there. And not only is he knowledgeable, but he's wise. And Paul goes on to say that his, listen in verse 33 at the end, how unsearchable are your judgments and how inscrutable are your ways. And if you've watched any sort of sports in the last 20 years, then what you have seen is the kind of advent of instant replay. And it's amazing to me the speed that the game really is played in now. I mean, 100 mile an hour fastballs, athletes running 22 miles an hour on the football field. And then when a play happens and there's in question, they throw it up on the replay booth and there's people watching it. And then the referee is looking at it and they all watch it in this incredible slow-mo. Have you ever watched that? And then they go frame by frame by frame by frame and they show the whole play. And there are still times I'm watching the game with my buddy and we don't agree what happens. And then if the coach doesn't like what happens, he can throw the challenge flag and he can challenge it. And there's still sometimes a question at the end of the game. Was he in? Was he out? Was it a touchdown? Was it fair? Did he get the ball off in time? Listen, in your roads of life, God's not pressing pause and looking at an instant replay booth in heaven, wondering, did I make the right call? Angels, did we get that right? Did we make the right decision there? Paul says his judgments are inscrutable. No one could ever argue with the decision he makes. Now, the reality is, sometimes our hearts struggle with his decisions. Amen? If we're honest, there have been many things in my life I did not want to receive. We went through 7 miscarriages in the first 8 years of our marriage. I didn't want any of that. And I really struggled believing God was good and still allowed that. Is it okay that pastors struggle? I was like, God, I don't understand. Why, with all the knowledge you have, with all the power you have, with all the mercy you have, with all the wisdom would you have, would you choose this? I still don't know. But here's what I know would happen. My wife and I were committed to leaning into our Creator. It was during that time that someone introduced us to what's called inductive precept Bible study. And they said, we're going to learn you how to teach you how to study the Bible for yourself. This was before I was a pastor. And we just got into his word. I just fell in love with my Creator. And I stopped struggling with why so much because I knew the God behind my why. And one of the reasons why today, we're just breaking it down pretty simple, giving you a couple of big ideas of who God is because in the road of life, if you know who your God is, your whys seem easier. And you serve a God who is all-powerful, all-merciful, wise. And the invitation today is trust him. And so we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song that you're probably familiar with. And then we're going to give you a little space to encounter God. But the song talks about how even when we don't see him, he's working. And so I want to give you an opportunity to kind of put those words in song and let that be a cry of your heart. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to pray and interact with your Creator. So take a minute now, wherever you are, let's just stand together and let's begin to sing this. And I don't know if it's been true for you, but sometimes song really does help me get my heart and mind in a place where they sync up. And so you're probably very familiar with this song, but let's just take a minute and let's sing it together.